Rites found what they considered to be perversions of nature and life to be sacrilege.
I did, little sprite,
the ghast responded with a leer.
And I will do worse to your people very soon. Not only will the decaying flesh of your corpses serve me, but I will bind your spirits to increase my power. You will see personally when I rip your souls from your bodies, unless...
He looked lasciviously at Richter.
Your leader agrees to my terms. You cannot trust this thing,
Calder spat.
That is true,
he agreed with another horrid laugh.
But your options are more limited than you know.
With a wave of his hand, the stone door slammed shut. That resounding thud started a drumbeat of panic in the hearts of every member of the warband.
Now,
Nian enunciated slowly, while stepping down to the second tier of the dais.
Shall we begin?
Chapter 69, Day 144, Qu'Born 34, 0 AOC. Calder immediately ran over to the door and attempted to pry it open, but the lack of concern on the Death Knight's face bode ill for the sergeant's chances. Nian stared at Richter, completely ignoring Calder's efforts. A moment later, he continued,
As I was saying, your pathetic group of fighters can battle me and my army,
Nian's voice turned mocking with the last word,
of Bodok's slaves, but you will die. I do not care about this, of course. In time, my master will convert every living thing in this forest into a desiccated husk. Not even insects will survive the apocalypse.
Nian's voice became exultant as he spoke, reveling in the utopia he was envisioning.
Only glorious death and beautiful corruption will remain above, and everything you hold dear will wither.
The Death Knight had started to look off to the side, picturing this horrific future, but then his gaze snapped back to Richter's face with a sneer.
All of this will happen, no matter what occurs in this throne room today. But...
The ghast stopped talking and raised one gauntleted finger. His final word hung in the air between the two forces, worming into the hearts of the warband. They all knew that their fates might rest on the disgusting creature's next words. Nian smiled, almost physically feeding on their fear.
But,
he continued,
if you agree to fight me in single combat for your place of power, one master to another, then no matter who wins, I will allow your party to leave this dungeon unmolested.
The mocking tone left his voice when he spoke his next words. Richter heard and felt the power being breathed into existence as the ghast invoked ritual words that were written into the skein of the universe.
I, Nian of the Shadow Trench, challenge you, Richter, to a duel to the final death. Let none stand between us or by us. By the Accords Eternal, let it be heard.
A sound like a barbarian's battle cry filled Richter's ears at the same time that a prompt appeared. Richter of the Mist Village, you have been identified by another master of a place of power. You have been challenged to a duel. Since the creation of the land, creatures of power have been able to challenge one another to take a portion or all of the other master's powers. You may refuse a duel with no ill effect, but if you agree to the terms, they will be enforced by the land itself. Nian of the Forsaken Trench, a level 2 place of power containing ley lines of water and death, has challenged Richter of the Mist Village, a level 1 place of power containing ley lines of air, life, dark, and water to a duel. Stakes. Ownership of the loser's heart crystal shall transfer to the victor. Code. Single combat. Second. None. End. Final death. Qualifiers. The members of the party of Richter of the Mist Village will be allowed to leave the dungeon unmolested, regardless of the results of the duel. Upon seeing the prompt, knowledge flooded Richter's mind. He instinctually knew much more about the simple grid than he should. The prompt was a magic as old as the land itself, and every denizen of the magical world was linked to this ancient set of rules. The stakes were easily explained. They were the spoils that went to the victor. The code determined the overall rules of the duel. Single combat, for instance, meant that the fight was between him and the Death Knight, but familiars and summoned creatures could still come into play, as opposed to a one-on-one, where such helpers were forbidden. In either case, minions or allies were not permitted. It basically meant Nien was saying Richter could use his summoned creatures, but the Ghast's Bodax couldn't fight on his side. It was a slight that the Death Knight was aiming at the Chaos Seed, saying that even with help, Nien didn't consider him a threat. That barb did chap Richter's ass a bit. He wouldn't complain or argue, though. The Chaos Seed wasn't interested in a fair fight. He never had been. He wanted to win. While Nien stared, waiting for Richter's response, the Chaos Seed continued to examine the prompt. A second was someone who could fight on your behalf if needed. Nien had effectively ruled that out when he said, "Let none stand between us or by us." The end was easily explained. It was what determined the termination condition of the duel. The end could include first blood, yield, death, or any number of options. In this case, it was the final death. Death would not have been an exacting enough definition when fighting an undead. Finally, the qualifiers covered any special provisos that were added to the fight. Richter was not really comfortable with the qualifiers, but thankfully, there was another prompt waiting. You may accept the duel as stated, refuse it completely, or change the conditions and challenge Nien of the Forsaken Trench to a duel in turn. Be warned. Once the mandates of a duel have been set, no power in the land can alter them. Once Nien had made the pronouncement about the duel, the air in the throne room had grown heavy with portent. Everyone present waited for his response. Richter's mind was still occupied with one question, though. How had Nien known he was the master of a place of power? Saying that these were his lands shouldn't necessarily have been enough by itself. Richter searched the Ghast's expectant face. The undead's rotting features made it hard to read a nuanced expression, but the naked greed there was easy to decipher. The Chaos Seed was about to ask a question, but then he saw it. The glimmer in the monster's eye. The glimmer that Hisako had warned him about so long ago that always let two masters identify each other. The Death Knight smiled hideously at Richter. He could read the growing realization even on the Chaos Seed's new draconian face. The silence dragged on, though Richter thought his thudding heart should have been loud enough for all to hear. What could he do? He did not want to risk his place of power, but he looked at Calder and the rest of his warband. He couldn't let his people wage a battle they couldn't win. This was not a game. These were real people that would not come back with the push of a reset button. One of Richter's summoned skeletons collapsed, the magic keeping the death spirit on this plane having elapsed. It was a strong reminder that time was passing while he dithered. His own Meseji bond with Alma had only 5.5 minutes left. He had to make a decision, and it had to be made now. The undead all stood by, silent as the grave, while they awaited Richter's answer. Could they run? Richter looked over and saw Calder still pulling at the stone door. It hadn't budged an inch. Seeing as how Nien had closed it without moving, it was obviously magically sealed. No, he realized, they couldn't escape. Could they fight? Yes, but the cost in lives would be horrible, even if they could win. His enchanted creatures had all been evolved, but their levels were lower than any of the enemy Bodax in the room. Richter let his gaze run over his party. Every one of them met his gaze and nodded, ready to do whatever was required. Despite the fact that each made it clear they were with him, He could see the fear on their faces. Would they be standing firm if his war leader's skill and the morale of the village weren't buffering their fighting spirit? Even if they were, could he spend their lives if there was another option? Calder gave up his efforts on the door. Keeping his eyes on the enemy undead, he walked over to Richter and put his hand on the Chaos Seed's shoulder. With calm assurance, he told his lord,
"We're with you, my lord. We will stand by you until the fires of the demon realms freeze."
The man's calm strength was as reassuring to Richter as the firmness of the earth beneath his feet. It brought a bit of peace to the thudding of Richter's heart.
"You will stand with me until then?"
he asked with his slightly hissing voice. His lips pulled back in a pitiful attempt at a smile, made even worse by his changed reptilian face. Calder did not hesitate to put a broad smile on his own face. The sergeant's choice to embrace humor, even when death literally looked at them with hunger, was a greater exaltation of life than 1,000 men screaming in defiance.
"You misunderstand, my lord. We will fight with you until the fires freeze over, and then we shall fight on the ice."
He turned towards Nien and the undead, then hefted his shield and raised his weapon.
"Right, men!"
His voice was the loud shout of an army sergeant.
"Rah!"
was the combined answer from the other 6 members of the warband. The 3 melee fighters set their shields together, facing the enemy, and the 2 archers pulled their arrows back. The biomancer held aloft his new wand of healing in one hand and raised the other to cast whatever spell would be required.
"We are with you, my lord,"
Calder proclaimed, his tone now fierce. His eyes were locked upon the ghast.
"I'm tired of waiting. Let us kill this foul thing quickly. There is cold ale and a hot woman waiting for me in the village."
"Much better than the other way around,"
one of the guards called out. There were grim chuckles all around, and the men prepared for the fight of their lives. Richter smiled at the fierceness of his warband. Confronted with their bravery, he knew what he had to do. They had made the choice easy for him. Not for the first time, his intent was recognized by the land itself, and the words flowed easily, as if a power greater than himself was guiding him.
"I have 3 changes to the qualifiers. 1, you will let my people leave now, and promise that neither you nor any agent you are associated with will take aggressive action against any of my people or the kinder of the nearby settlement for at least 1 week. 2, you will release the kinder you captured. They will leave with my people. And 3, you will give me a vital piece of information about your master, something that will help me and my people before we fight. If you kill me, it shouldn't matter what you say. When I kill you, well, you're fucked anyway. If you agree to these terms, then I, Richter of the Mist Village, challenge you, Nien of the Shadow Trench, to a duel to the final death. Let none stand between us or by us. By the Accords Eternal, let it be heard."
"My lord, no!"
Kenjiro shouted.
"Quiet!"
Richter snapped. His stare continued to bore into the ghast. For the first time, the undead had lost its smug expression. With Nien's saggy and decaying features, it was impossible to be sure of his emotions, but the hesitation spoke volumes. No matter how powerful the Death Knight was, he still feared his master. Something inside of Richter knew that the undead needed one more push. The Chaos Seed turned away from the undead, and with as much scorn as he could muster, he spoke to Calder.
"You were right, Sergeant. This coward is just an errand boy and is beneath my notice. You may kill him while I destroy the Bodax. Archers, prepared.
I accept."
The ghast spat in his gargling voice.
"Your men have 1 minute to leave the room. If they remain in the room beyond that time, their souls will feed my power."
He waved his hand and the stone door opened. Another wave made one of the Bodax open the cage that held the last 2 living captives. The kinder cried out in fear when the undead monster grabbed them, but it just pulled their small bodies over to the warband and cast them on the floor. With expressions of horror and disbelief, they ran out the door, not waiting on Richter's party to escort them out. Richter turned to his sergeant. In hissing tones, he ordered, "Leave. Every second you delay, you are eating into my buffs. Take the rest of our men and escort the wounded back to the Kinder settlement. Wait for me for 1 hour, and if I'm not back by then, get our people back to the village safely. Extend an offer of protection to the Kinder as well. But if they refuse or even delay, leave. Your priority is to get our people home." Calder's jaw quivered with repressed emotion, but the sergeant was a consummate soldier.
"You heard him, men. Move out, on the double, and leave most of your mist lights."
Richter nodded his thanks to the sergeant for remembering that he would need light in the battle to come. Kenshiro opened his mouth, but Richter cut him off.
"On the double," he said, "you will follow all of Calder's instructions until you hear otherwise from me. Now move!"
The sprite bared teeth, but did as commanded, forcefully slamming his arrow back into his quiver.
"You too, my love. You need to leave."
Richter and Alma hadn't spoken since the Meseji began, but it wasn't because they couldn't. The two of them had simply been so in sync that words had not been necessary, but now he knew they would disagree. As powerful as the bond made him, he couldn't risk what would happen to her if he died while they were bonded. He remembered the warning he'd received after bonding to Alma. "Death of one is death of all." The words were etched into his mind. The only reason he had agreed to this duel was that it required a final death. Richter felt relatively sure that term had been used by the undead creature because it was, by definition, already dead. He was also fairly sure that it didn't know he could be reborn. That gave him a secret edge. On the other hand, he had no idea how many lives he had left. He just knew they were finite. If he was only entitled to 3, well, that would just suck a fat one. He would not only be gone, but would also be risking the lives of everyone in the village. That was why he had insisted no harm would come to his people for at least a week. If the worst were to happen, he was sure Hisako would see them to safety. That brought some peace to his troubled soul. Despite the dangers, he just couldn't let Calder and the rest of his men die in this shitty hole in the ground. Not if there was a chance he could end it himself. He had taken a great risk agreeing to the duel, but sometimes he just had to roll the hard 6. Any Georgia boy worth the name was willing to take a risk and fight the good fight. One thing he didn't want to risk, however, was Alma's life. She, of course, had other plans. Rather than speak, she sent him a memory of when she had been just a simple creature, newly summoned, and their eyes had locked for the first time. They both relived how that moment had changed them for all eternity. Their soul bond would not just last one life. It would endure until the youngest son burned out. It took only a moment, but their communion felt like it lasted an hour. After he was reminded of how deep their bond was, her answer was a simple,
"I am with you, my love."
A hint of moisture came to Richter's eyes, and he sent her a heartfelt feeling of appreciation. The warband filed out the door with Calder bringing up the rear. Before the man left, he looked Richter in the eye and said,
"Make it hurt."
With absolute intensity, Richter returned the look.
"That's what I do."
Calder slipped through the door and it slammed shut behind him. The force was hard enough to cause a fine sprinkling of dust to fall from the stone doorway. Before it had even settled to the floor, the Death Knight fulfilled his side of the bargain. Even with the undead's decaying features, it was easy to read his anger as he was forced to fulfill the terms of the duel.
"In accordance with the qualifier of the duel, I give you this information. The guardian of a dark magic portal was slain recently. The destination key on our side of the portal was lost long ago, so my master could not be sure that I would be able to return after I was sent to discover why. In case I was killed or could not report my findings, he has laid a trap for any who come through the portal that will slay all who dare to enter our realm."
The undead's information confirmed that when Richter had killed the Decamer Knight, he had tipped off its master, the eldritch magic user. That had already been pretty evident, though, with the rise of undead attacks in the lands surrounding the village. The more important point was about the key. Richter had known the activation key had to be present on the other end of the portal. Both the sending and receiving portals had to have the activation keys present, otherwise the portal's magic wouldn't work at all. For a portal to be more than just a pretty light show, the gate needed a second runestone, the destination key. The key took you to a specific place. Without it, you simply passed through the energy field and nothing happened. The Tephonym knowledge Richter had been given about portals hinted at something called an untethered portal that worked without a destination key, but his knowledge didn't tell him exactly what that was. The Death Knight had been true to the terms of the duel. The information he had provided was valuable. Not knowing if the destination key was present on the other side of that portal was what had kept Richter from entering it in the past. When you added in the fact that the Lich was waiting for them and had laid a trap, it meant Richter and Hisako couldn't risk taking their armies through the gateway. It would be a slaughter. How would they get to the Lich, then? Richter couldn't just let the undead attacks continue and get worse. There had to be another way. Richter thought about the Death Knight's story and realized there was an obvious question that could be the answer to his problems.
"Then how do you plan to get back?" Richter asked.
The Ghast slipped a helmet over his head, completing his set of heavy armor.
"No, worm. The qualifiers have been met."
With that pronouncement, an aura of purple and black light exploded out from his body, bathing the entire room. Richter staggered backward as red warning prompts filled his vision like alarms that came too late. "You are afflicted with fear. You are afflicted with death aura. Death magic plus 35% more effective while within the aura. You are plus 7% more likely to suffer critical hits. Enemies within the death aura area are afflicted with despair. You are afflicted with despair. Attack speed and damage decreased by 28%. The Death Knight glared at Richter's quivering body through the slats in his helmet. His voice was horrifyingly quiet.
"Your soul is mine."
Chapter 70, Day 144, Qubourn 34, 0 AOC. Richter had never been so afraid in his life. It was all he could do not to piss himself, and that was a near thing. He was no stranger to fear. He had been plunged into one terrifying experience after another since coming to the land. Some were worse than others. Tentacle monster. The assassin. His mouth went dry and his eyes widened in absolute horror. His body had started shaking, and he could do nothing to stop it. Remembering those traumatic events had just made the shivering worse. The face of the Death Knight shifted to the face of every nightmare he had ever had, the undead's aura plunging sharp claws into his soul. The Chaos Seed quailed under the onslaught, but then something happened. Something that had saved men since time immemorial. A woman told him he was being a moron. Despite the debuffs, Alma's voice came through loud and clear.
"Snap out of it! Your mental resistance is 100% now! The psychic effects of the undead's aura cannot touch you. You are only suffering from the emotional component. Focus on my voice and retreat within your mental fortress."
Though terror clenched his heart, the deep bond between he and Alma still let her words reach him. Her love and dedication were all the proof he needed to believe her words and firm his will. The Death Knight started stalking forward, arrogant words falling from his lips as he taunted Richter. The undead thought Richter was completely paralyzed and helpless, as so many of his enemies had been in the past. An angry voice deep inside of the Chaos Seed started spitting in defiance. That voice vowed that the undead creature would regret his hubris.
"Fight, master! You can use my strength, but you must focus! Fight!"
Richter followed her advice and ignored the Death Knight's taunts. Instead, he pulled his awareness inward. Doing so made him completely helpless, but that was already the case. Once he knew what to do, it was the work of a moment to conjure the mental representation of his village. Just as before, it had a small fort in the middle that was his primary mental bulwark. There were differences, though. The village walls were twice as high as they normally were, and the small fort that represented his primary defenses had turned into a two-story castle. Richter pictured himself at the top of the battlement, looking out over the village and out past the settlement walls. He felt something coming, and within moments, a creeping red fog appeared. It was actually thicker than mere fog, he realized. It oozed more than flowed. The scarlet mist appeared in one spot in the distance, then two, then a dozen. Before long, the viscous red fog was flowing in from the forest in all directions.
"It is the Ghast's fear skill trying to overcome your mental defenses," came a familiar reptilian voice from above. Richter knew it well, but it was still strange hearing Alma with his ears rather than inside his head. The Chaos Seed looked up. Resting on the roof was Alma, but she was big. The small familiar now had a body the height of a Great Dane and twice the length. She unfurled her wings when she saw him looking at her. Each of the inky black appendages stretched 5 feet. Her voice held a tone of smug satisfaction.
"Am I not beautiful, Master?"
Despite the impending attack, her cockiness still amused him. Richter reasoned that with the time dilation effect within the walls of his mind, they had a second to talk. "You are gorgeous, you silly thing," he responded with a smile. "And you're speaking so well."
"As this is all inside your mind, Master, technically I'm not," she responded sardonically. "I can still speak to you psychically. But I found that I enjoyed speaking with you before we underwent the Misseji."
The familiar switched between the two modes of conversation seamlessly, and in each, her voice was the same. A woman liked the sound of her own voice. Shocking, he thought to himself. Or at least, he thought it had been to himself. The fact that she hissed at him seemed to indicate otherwise. Apparently, the Misseji also lowered the barrier between their personal and transmitted thoughts. Coughing loudly to cover, he told her, "You have a beautiful voice, my love, but there is something I still don't understand. Why has my mental fort become a castle? And why are the walls bigger?" She narrowed her draconian eyes at him, a clear promise of future retribution for his errant thoughts, but stayed on task.
"As you already know, everything in here is just a construct of your mental landscape. While our Psybond has allowed you to develop your mental defenses much faster than you would otherwise, most of your defenses are still due to the mental bonuses our Psybond provides you. The Misseji has increased those bonuses, so your psychic fortifications have become more formidable as well."
"This is about indirect damage, isn't it?" Richter asked.
"Yes,"
Alma responded.
"Your mental resistance was 55% the last time you focused on your mental defenses. With the Misseji, that leaped to 100%, hence your walls doubling in height and your fort becoming a small castle."
When she had first explained how magical resistances worked, she had subdivided the mechanism into direct and indirect damage. Having a 100% resistance to fire magic would make you nearly invulnerable to spells of that school, though there were exceptions. A fireball would do almost nothing, for instance. That was an example of direct damage. Indirect damage would be like running through a forest fire. Having a fire resistance would increase your base resistance to burning, which would make it more likely for you to survive, but sure as hell wouldn't make you fireproof. In the case of indirect damage, the resistance bonus was applied to your innate defense value. His mental and spiritual resistance were both +1, for instance. That was the average for most humans in the land. His training with Alma had increased his mental defense to +1.9. That was represented by the outer wall of his village. When he was inside of his mindscape, with his mental fortifications in place, that jumped to +4.9. The extra 3 points of mental defense were represented by his fort, which had become a castle thanks to the Misseji. The Dragonling had berated him often for not having his mental walls up all the time, even when sleeping, but Richter hadn't been able to manage it before. It had taken extreme focus that he just couldn't maintain for long without a break. Now that their Psybond was increased, though, he thought he might be able to hold them in place. Reaching level 7 of the bond had made mental exercises easier. He could already feel a greater stability in his mindscape.
He could test it later. What mattered now was that Alma had been right. The Death Knight's fear skill was an example of indirect damage, so he couldn't just shrug off the mental component, even though he now had a 100% resistance. Getting behind his mental wards increased his mental defenses to a level that surpassed the attack potential of the fear skill. A quick check of his combat log proved that. Mental component of fear, 20%, has attack of 5.4 and is resisted 100% due to your mental defense of 8.1, base 4.9, plus 65% mental resistance. Emotional component of fear, 80%, has attack of 8.6 and is resisted 11% due to your spiritual defense, 1.05, base 1.0, plus 5% mental resistance. There was a similar entry for how he was resisting the despair. Not only was he able to completely ignore the mental component of the fear skill, but being in his mindscape let him ignore the spiritual side as well, like a man could ignore the pain of torture with meditation. He had a feeling that the encroaching red fog meant he couldn't ignore the spiritual attacks forever. Even now that his ability to think clearly had been restored, he still had limited capabilities with regard to interacting with the real world. He switched his view to what he was actually seeing in the undead throne room. The Death Knight was moving towards him very slowly from his viewpoint, thanks to the time dilation effect of the mindscape, but that didn't alter the fact that the undead was getting closer. All of that explained the change in Richter's construct, but it still didn't explain the red fog that was oozing ever closer to the walls of the village, and it didn't explain the black shapes he was seeing inside of it. "So that is the guest's fear skill?" he asked. "It looks more like a menstrual fog. And what are those black shapes?" Alma gave a long, suffering sigh, but otherwise ignored Richter's fog comment.
"The black shapes are how your mind is interpreting the attack from the Death Knight's aura. You are safe so long as neither the fog nor the black creatures touch you, but they will both keep coming."
The mist had reached the outer trench and floated right over. The trench was just an affectation, an image to make the mental village more closely resemble the real thing, not an actual mental defense. Thankfully, once it reached the village walls, which were actual representations of his innate mental defenses, it stopped, as did the black figures inside of it. After what felt like only a few moments, Richter could see that the red smoke was pooling at the base of the stone defenses and slowly rising higher.
"When the fear mist reaches this castle, it will climb the walls as well. If it reaches the psychic representation of your body, the fear debuff will cripple you again. Perhaps now you see how important growing your base mental defense is, and that you should take our training more seriously?"
she added archly at the end.
"Yes, I do," Richter answered sourly.
Even in a life-and-death moment, the main woman in his life found a way to say both, "I told you so," and, "This entire situation could have been avoided if you had listened to me." She sniffed at him.
"That is how long you have to kill the Death Knight."
She paused a moment before flippantly adding,
"Unless our Miseji bond runs out first. Then you—
"Lose my increased defenses," Richter interjected. "I know."
"Actually, I was going to say, then you're fucked. But it amounts to the same thing, Master, and you shouldn't interrupt."
"Thanks," Richter said with supreme annoyance. "Is there anything else that you can do to help?"
"Just this,"
she responded with a twinkle in her eye. She launched herself off the roof towards the encroaching mists. Her voice echoed in his mind.
"What you can do, I can do."
Then she opened her mouth and breathed nearly invisible glass flames over the scarlet mists. The fog dissipated wherever her attack touched, slowing its overall encroachment towards Richter's perch atop the castle. He also caught sight of the black things for the first time. They were stick-like figures with claws and teeth. They looked like the scariest things from the Nightmare Before Christmas. Hearing their high-pitched screams as they died was music to his ears. Richter looked at her in amazement. She really was a true dragon. Thanking his lucky stars for his wonderful soul familiar, Richter turned his attention back to the real world. Though he'd been talking to Alma for a full minute inside of his mind, the time dilation effect meant that bare seconds had passed in his battle with the Death Knight. The creature had just stepped down to the third level of the dais,
Now back in control of his faculties, Richter decided on a plan. He just needed a bit of time. Luckily, he had that covered. With a mental command, he ordered the 8 remaining Bodaks to attack, but left his other summoned creatures in reserve.
Ha!
The Ghast scoffed, seeing the low-level skeletons moving towards him.
Your pathetic minions only delay your death!
To prove his point, the knight swung his sword through the body of a Rhyme Bodak. The reanimated skeleton was destroyed by that one blow, and bones went flying. Richter hated seeing how easily his creature was dispatched, but was not dismayed by the loss. All he needed was time. He couldn't waste any more energy worrying about the reanimated monsters. He had his own part to play if he was going to survive to see the dawn. Putting what he hoped was an expression of dismay on his draconian face, he crumpled to his knees as if all hope was lost. The Ghast's answering laugh showed that Richter's deception was having the desired effect, at least for the moment. Richter hunched over once his knees hit the ground, but he wasn't out of the fight. Far from it. Laugh it up, asshole, he thought bitterly. Then he began to cast. His body hid the flashes of black and gold light that began to grow around his hands as he prepared to cast a spell of deep magic. The arcane words fell from his lips as he pretended to cower on the ground. More of his summoned creatures fell, almost one a second, but they served their purpose. A part of Richter marveled at how easily he was able to resist the seductive pull of the spirit magic inside of his mental construct. A deeper, more sadistic part of him looked forward to what was about to happen. Though his face remained pointed down, through his psychic bond to his summoned creatures, he saw that the Death Knight had destroyed 3 skeletons and had reached the bottom tier of the dais. The light spread from his hands to his arms, then began to radiate off him like heat shimmer in the desert. Afraid the Ghast would see, Richter ordered his creatures to redouble their efforts to distract the undead creature. The energy on his arms met with a second focus of energy centered on his chest. The 2 waves of force created a turbulence that manifested as a sphere of black and gold energy between his hands. In the space of a few seconds, it grew from the size of a pea to the size of a softball, then even larger. Crackling bolts of gold and black energy danced across the surface. He was dual-casting the spell, and his mana was falling at a precipitous rate. The original cost of 168 had swelled to a head-splitting 625 MP. This was why Richter had refrained from using the new blood perk of his symbiosis boon, Siphon. While having 10% of the strength of some of the Rhyme Bodaks he had slain would have come in handy, the 50 MP reduction to his mana pool would preclude him from using his strongest spells. The magic he was using now was one of his longest casts, taking a full 10 seconds to complete. Another 2 skeletons fell, but it was worth it as Richter approached the 9th second. He sent a mental command to his few remaining creatures, not wanting to risk them being hit by his magic. He didn't actually care about their well-being, but his life, and possibly the lives of all his people, might rely on his spell hitting the target. The remaining Bodaks immediately dropped low, abandoning all defense to grab hold of the Death Knight's legs. The Death Knight looked at them in surprise, then suspicion.
Too late, jabroni, Richter thought with all the vehemence he could muster.
With a last word of power that had the volume of a shout, he straightened up and thrust his hands forward, casting Weak Aura Lance. The ball of black and gold energy shot forward with the speed of a bullet, lengthening into a javelin of void black and shining gold. The Death Knight's eyes widened at seeing a magic he was unfamiliar with, and he tried to dive out of the way. However massive his strength was, having 4 Bodaks, even of a lower level, holding onto his legs, stalled him for a split second. That was all it took. The spell impacted against the Ghast's stomach just above the groin. It disappeared, and for a second, nothing happened. Glee began to find its way back onto the undead warrior's face, but then cracks ran through his body, quick as lightning. Wafer-thin pieces of him peeled off and floated into the air before disappearing. Once the process was done a moment later, no outward change could be seen in the Death Knight, but Richter's combat log told another story. Richter has struck Nian with a dual-cast weak aura lance. All spell-type resistances of the Death Knight are decreased by minus 11.8%. Any resistance dropping below 0% will cause a resultant susceptibility to that spell type. With a grim smile, Richter sent a command to his remaining summoned creatures. Attack! The fox, spider, forest elemental, rats, and wisp all surged forward. The ghast wasted no time and laid waste to the defenseless Bodax at his feet. With his high attack speed and massive strength, the damage was devastating. Before he could dispatch all of the reanimated skeletons, however, the frost Bodax struck. With an ice-blue fist of bone, it punched the Death Knight in the leg. A surge of water magic spread through the ghast's body, afflicting him with slow. A final swing of the undead sword made the frost Bodax head go flying, but then the other summoned creatures attacked. Meanwhile, Richter reached into his bag for 3 mana potions. Plucking the stoppers from each, he downed them all, suppressing a faint gag at the licorice taste. His mana bar began refilling rapidly, and the Chaos Seed ran forward. By the time he had crossed half the distance, the ghast had already killed his spider. The rats were next to useless, and a few had already been ground into paste under the undead's boots. They posed less risk to Richter's enemy than a banana peel did to a cartoon character. The wisp was actually having an effect, being able to pass through the knight's armor freely. Now even more susceptible to life magic than before, each of the wisp's melee attacks was costing Nian over a dozen HP. The hardwood saproling, in contrast, was attacking for all it was worth, but was doing almost negligible damage against the ghast's high-level armor. Richter took another step, and the wisp's luck ran out. Performing a perfectly executed sword strike, the Death Knight cut the life creature in half. In a flash of sparks, it winked out of existence. Nian turned to look at the Chaos Seed, fury evident through the slats in his helmet. He kicked the saproling, sending it flying through the air. Then the Death Knight started running towards the Chaos Seed, which was just what Richter had been waiting for. The Chaos Seed raised an arm, and the Death Knight lifted his shield in response, expecting a spell. That's not on the menu, Richter thought. Instead of magic, he accessed Alma's primary attack, Psi Blast, and concentrated the beam. The ray of pure psychic energy passed through the solid matter of the undead's armor as if it weren't there. Once it reached the ghast's rotting flesh, however, it played havoc. Nian had had mental resistance at the beginning, but now he had nearly a minus 12% weakness to the deep magic. All conscious thought fled the death creature's mind, and he fell in a clatter of armor. Richter had no idea how long the stun effect would last, but he wasted no time. Reaching down, he ripped off the creature's helmet. Grabbing the ghast's face in both hands, Richter pried the jaws apart. Richter drew in a deep breath, and time seemed to pause for a moment. Then he used glass flame. Nearly invisible fire poured from Richter's mouth and into Nian's like a sparrow feeding its young. Mania widened his eyes as he thought, "Burn, you bastard! Burn!" He kept the flame on for the full 7 seconds, hollowing the undead out. The fire burned through in places and began to do massive damage to the ghast's armor. The knight's health points plummeted towards zero, further hastened by an instinct inside of Richter to drain away the creature's life through his taloned hands. For the first time, he felt the ecstasy of using brain drain. He drank the ghast's very thoughts and felt like a god. Alma's psyche reveled inside of him even as she continued to fight the red fog that was still encroaching on his mental castle. In seconds, it was over. Richter dropped the burnt-out husk in disgust and threw back his head. A draconian roar of triumph burst from his throat, and he cast his gaze around at the skeletons lining the room to see if they would try to avenge their master's death. None moved. Richter's dragon lips pulled back in a sharp-toothed smile. He had won! The moment was ruined when Alma called out to him.
Master, something is wrong!
He cast his focus inward and saw that not only had the red fog not dissipated,
it had thickened and was spreading faster than before. Despite Alma breathing glass fire and throwing lightning bolts, it was accumulating faster than she could disperse it. She was in no danger being able to fly, but it had long since overrun the outer walls. The crimson mist had reached the base of the castle and was starting to climb the structure. The construct that represented his consciousness had nowhere to go.
"If the Ghast suffered the final death, then his aura should have dissipated," she cried out.
That was when Richter heard it. A large sucking sound heralded the appearance of a purple-black vortex over the Death Knight's body. It covered the corpse in a shell of the same color, and a tether shot out to connect to each of the creature's minions. Richter had seen something similar before in the memories of Jorgen. The fucking thing was trying to siphon strength from the other undead to regenerate.
"No!"
Richter shouted, swinging his elementum blade at the death magic dome. He might as well have attacked a mountain. The magic at play was primordial, and as old as the land's places of power. It rebuffed Richter's attack as if it had never happened. Though he did not know it, Richter was witnessing an ability that could only be obtained by advancing a death place of power to level 2. The Death's Servant ability let the Death Master transfer his death to 7 of his pledged servants who would die in his stead. The ability was not limited to just 7 victims, though. It could be spread to as many of the Master's servants as were willing and nearby. Every 7 victims increased Nian's power by another 30%. Triggered at the moment of death, the process could not be interrupted, and the Master was effectively invulnerable until it finished. As the Bodaks had no free will to speak of, they were all being sacrificed to feed the Ghast's life and boost his power. Before Richter's very eyes, the bones of all the Bodaks began to blacken as they took on the damage the Ghast had suffered. Nien's own body regenerated, and even worse, the debuff from the Aura Lance was transferred as well. He got up into a kneeling position, the maximum height the dome of death magic allowed, and glared at Richter with pure hatred. The Chaos Seed didn't know exactly what was going on, but did know it was most likely bad enough to end his life. It was not the time for half measures. Reaching into his bag of holding, he pulled out every Psi crystal he had gathered in the dungeon. He held them in his cupped hands and breathed deeply. Pure mental energy poured into his body, even as death energy poured into the Death Knight. Both Nien and Richter willed the power to flow faster, but neither had control as they called upon powers greater than either of them could ever hope to control. Richter won the race. He finished absorbing over 300 levels worth of psychic energy a moment before the vortex of death energy winked out of existence. He knew he had no chance of defeating the Ghast by strength of arms, so he did the one thing he knew he shouldn't do. He looked Nien in the eyes. The Death Knight's own gaze widened in shock as a psychic bond was created. A moment later, Richter recalled the warning that a door, once created, can swing both ways. At Psi Bond level 7, the bond was stronger than he had ever experienced before. For the first time, Richter experienced an ancient form of thought combat.
You have engaged in psychic battle with the Death Knight Nien.
Richter's mindscape remained the same, and he still stood atop the castle of his mind's defense. The red mist reached halfway up the walls of his mental defenses and were continuing to rise. As he stared out over his settlement, he saw that the forest directly outside of his village had disappeared. Now, it was a barren wasteland of black rock and twisted trees. A roiling sky of dark clouds hung over the tableau, blocking all direct light. In comparison to the sun shining above his own Greenland, the two mindscapes were the very essence of life and death. The mental representation of the Death Knight stood at the border of the two lands. No fortifications were present within the Ghast's mind, but as Richter watched, skeletons rose inside the Deadlands. The minions were a function of a warrior talent, intimidation, adding to Nien's mental attack strength. The knight was also wearing armor that represented another warrior talent, mental fortitude.
Nian had always used the talent to protect himself from mind-altering spells in battle. In the Ghast's mindscape, it served a more direct function in protecting the creature's body, which was, just as it was with Richter, a representation of his mind. Unlike in the real world, the knight's body was only 5 feet tall, and his physique was little more than average. That was because in the mindscape, one's power was affected by many factors, but the attributes of strength and constitution were not among them. Intelligence, on the other hand, did have a direct impact on one's base mental attack and defense. As Richter's stat was much higher than Nian's, his mental strength was actually higher even without taking his training with Alma into account. That advantage did not last. Nian looked around in confusion, but then realization crossed his face. The Ghast examined the castle and saw Richter's avatar was still standing atop it. The creature began to laugh, the same sludge-filled chortle that the Chaos Seed had heard before.
You think these mental games will protect you? The Death Knight shouted. My master told me of your thought magic and placed a piece of himself inside of me. Witness the power of the Eldritch.
With that pronouncement, the Death Knight stuck his gauntleted fingers into his own neck and grabbed a bone his lich master had placed under his skin before sending him to the surface world. The reliquary was a gift from the Eldritch Master and had been flooded with parasitic magic. In the mindscape, there was no actual bone under the Ghast's skin, of course, but the action still served to express the undead's desire. In the real world, the Eldritch magic in the bone responded to the Death Knight's will. The power contained within the reliquary flooded the Ghast's body. Veins stood stark against his exposed skin, glowing neon green, and his eyes shone like spotlights of the same color. Nian's body grew by 7 feet, and his muscles grew to match. The armor he wore enlarged to suit its new frame. From his now 12 feet of height, the Ghast looked at Richter's mental defenses in contempt. When he spoke again, there was a resonance to the undead's voice that sounded like the lich's voice was superimposed over his own.
Now you can witness the foresight and power of the Eldritch. You are not safe behind your paltry walls, foolish human. I will sweep aside the defenses of your mind and visit horrors upon you that shall make even your nightmares flee in terror. You shall tell me all that you know, and soon your dominion will be mine. No,
Nian pronounced, pinning Richter with a baleful glare that promised tortures beyond the Chaos Seed's imagination.
You shall learn the true meaning of pain.
Richter glared back for long seconds before his face relaxed and he shouted his response.
Yeah, you'd probably be right, but you forgot one thing.
The Ghast cocked his head in query right before a shadow crossed over the illusory sun overhead. Nian looked up and got to see the rare vision of a dragon. She was no longer the size of a large dog, but instead was now the size of a greyhound bus. Swelled with the power of 300 levels of psychic energy, Alma descended like the wrath of the banished gods. Confronted with the monstrosity attacking him, Nian completely forgot about Richter. The Death Knight started to marshal the eldritch magic he'd been given in a vain attempt to protect himself. Even though the Chaos Seed was now being ignored, he still decided to finish his earlier statement. In a normal voice that had no chance of being heard by the Death Knight, he said, "You forgot that if you mess with me, you mess with my whole crew." Alma struck. One taloned claw the size of a dinner table smashed Nian to the ground, and the neon green glow of energy snuffed out from around the Death Knight. The Ghast cried out in pain and fear as her talon pierced straight through his entire body. With deliberate care, she tore off his limbs one at a time, reveling in his terror. The mental anguish the undead was experiencing was almost physical in this realm, and she drank in the sensation. When only the head remained, she drew her claw, letting her talons slide out of Nian's body. She was not being merciful.
There was no mercy in her gaze as she stared in pure hatred at the creature that had tried to kill her master. Nian looked up with an expression of shock and horror on his ruined face. He opened his mouth to speak, either to beg, threaten, or bargain. The words were never heard. Alma breathed glass flame down on Nian's head and torso, turning the body into cinders and then dust. The particles blew away in the wind of her breath, and all traces of the undead were scoured from Richter's mind. With her foe utterly vanquished, Alma reared back in all of her draconic glory and showed her master what the roar of a true dragon sounded like. Looking at her in love and astonishment, he whispered, "My little predator." Leaving the tableau of his mindscape, he turned his focus back to the real world. Once again, only seconds had passed, though the guest's mental torture had lasted for a quarter of an hour. Stalking forward, Richter had both of his weapons raised to attack if the undead managed yet another trick to defy death. Nian just stayed on his knees, though, staring forward with a slack-jawed expression and completely vacant eyes. His mind had been utterly destroyed, and only fragments of the guest's self remained in the empty shell of his body. Richter's lips pulled back in a snarl, and one hand wove in an arcane gesture. Golden light surrounded his fingers. When the spell was done, for the next 2 minutes, the ghast's soul was bound to this realm. Placing both hands on the creature's head, the Chaos Seed used brain drain again. He was worried that time might run out as less than a minute remained for the Meseji, but the energy he had absorbed from the Psi crystals turned what was normally a stream of psychic energy into a raging river. The ghast's health, mana, and stamina sank like a stone through air, but still it was not enough for Richter. As he feasted on the residual psychic energy in Nian's body, his bloodlust rose. The Chaos Seed's taloned hands dug into the flesh on either side of the guest's neck. Deep furrows appeared, and putrid fluid squirted over Richter's hands. With a roar of savage anger, Richter wrenched the head left, then right, then left again. With the final twist, Nian's head came clean off his body. All of his status bars bottomed out, this time never to rise again. As the rainbow of the undead soul stuff swirled around Richter, the Chaos Seed allowed himself a faint chuckle. "I captured the soul of a soul leader," he thought. "How wonderful." The ribbon of colored energy disappeared into Richter's bag. With a dismissive scoff, Richter let the head fall from his hands onto the ground with a wet smack. So ended the story of Nian the Reaver. Chapter 71, Day 144, Kuborn 34, 0 AOC. A kaleidoscope of notifications flooded Richter's vision. The first told him about his haul thanks to Soul Trap. "You have captured Soul of Ghast Death Knight. Durability, 25 of 25. Item class, uncommon. Stone level, luminous. Soul level, luminous. Status, filled. Weight, 0.4 kilograms. He minimized all the rest. Richter still wasn't alone in the room. The stone door had now reopened, but the dozen or so Bodaks had all turned their heads to look directly at him. Richter panned from left to right and back again. He'd known from the beginning that even if he killed the Death Knight, he might still be killed by the undead's minions. He had made his peace with it. What was important was that he had removed the threat of the Death Knight and had preserved the lives of his people. Waiting for whatever would come, he just held his elementum short sword in one hand and his mace in the other. He wasn't going down without a fight. Richter was ready for anything, or so he thought. He felt nothing but astonishment when the Bodaks clapped their fists to their chests in salute, one after the other. First, the warriors at the bottom of the dais, then the rhyme skeletons paid him deference. The skeletons on the final level of the dais did the same, before each monster turned towards the throne and went down on one knee. There, with heads bowed, they froze into immobility. A flash of light appeared above the throne. It flickered several more times before resolving into a 4.5-foot-tall figure with a crown upon his head. The spirit turned towards Richter and regarded him calmly.
After about a minute, the king started walking down the dais towards Richter. He was neither hurried nor threatening. Still, the Chaos Seed had learned his lesson about trusting random spirits. Sheathing his short sword in a smooth motion, he cast Weak Detect Hostile Intent. Gold light surrounded his hands for the 2-second cast time. After he finished the spell,